Sometimes it helps to put a face with a name, so and those other names. So I wanted to show y'all a picture of my family. This is a picture of my family. It was drawn by my daughter. I'm on the right. I had a side pony in with the bow, but I took it out because I had to, you know, change into my. Chunkuzi is in the middle. He's got like the snowman arms. I was like, very nice, Hannah Jane. I like how you did that. Kyler's next to me in his. You know, I'll talk about his physique later. Y'all are like, okay, I'm looking forward to that. And then Henry has got the green hair and Hannah Jane. But maybe it's more helpful if you see what they really look like. This is an actual picture of us. There's Chunkuzi that I'm holding. And Hannah Jane, she's 7. We'll start with my husband. Kyler, I married my best friend. He's awesome. We met at summer camp. We're about 4.5 years apart in age. So people are like, okay, was he like a camper? I'm like, no. We were both on staff. We're like doing our thing. And I'm like giving him dating advice. And all the while he's like, no, I don't want dating advice. Like I'm right here. I had no idea. I was like, okay, you know. And things moved along pretty quickly. So 4 months of engagement, 3 months, or 4 months of dating, 3 months of engagement. And then God gave us this gift of Hannah Jane very, very soon after. And she's our surprise. And then we had a couple more surprises, and they're also pictured. But what is really fun is that her birthday is March 8th. It's coming up, so she'll be 7. And then Sweet Holden, his birthday is March 8th. Y'all get what's happened here? I'm like, I can never go back to Branson, Missouri. This is where all these kids are coming from. And then Henry, he's 3.5. He's an absolute joy. So that's my family. I love them very much. Y'all are familiar with love languages, right? Y'all have heard this concept, this idea that we have, you know, we receive love in different ways and we give love in different ways, right? So there's words of affirmation like, hey, how you doing? You know, I'm receiving it. Okay. There's acts of service. There's, hey, here's your phone, right? I'm like, oh, feel loved, you know. There's physical touch. Hey, high five, you know. And then there's one that I always say is like the one that I feel like is like lowest and maybe shallowest on the love language chart, and it's receiving gifts. Because it's kind of like, instead of spending quality time with you, can you just maybe leave the gift on the front porch? That'd be great. Okay, great. Yes, I'm feeling loved, you know. And I joke about that because it's not quite that way. But for my birthday, this last year, I turned 36, and I know my husband knows that I receive love by receiving gifts. And he is very thoughtful in the way that he gives gifts. But he's not a great secret keeper. Like, if he has an idea that he's excited about, he's really excited about it. And he's like wears it all over his face, and there's no hiding it. And so about a month before I'm turning 36, I can tell. I'm like, there is something in the air. He is up to something. I'm like, it had better not be a surprise party. I do not want that. Like, but he's like checking his email and stuff, and all of a sudden, he tells me, he just lets the cat out of the bag, and he's like, Diana, I'm thinking about getting you a Vespa. And I don't know if y'all are like, a Vespa, you know, maybe you don't know what this is. Picture like a motorcycle, but like so much safer and cooler and like so Italian, right? And so when he says this, I'm like living in this dream world of like, okay, I'm like seeing myself as like the upper echelon of Cardiff, like going down the hill to get my family donuts at VG's, putting them in my sidecar. You know, like, Holden, you're gonna have to get out. Let's put these in the sidecar. You know, and I'm picturing the freedom that this is gonna give me. Right, I'm gonna have a Vespa. I'm gonna get a break from my kids. It's shiny. It's new. It's like all that I've ever really wanted. It fulfills this need in me for speed. I don't know. Maybe you guys can relate. Like, I used to love doing things like jumping off of cliffs into water, jumping out of airplanes onto ground safely. Those are stories for another time. But now, I don't really have those opportunities to do those kind of things. Like, every now and again, I'm like, can I borrow your plasma car to, you know, take this hill, you know? But usually my need for speed is like, I got a blowout diaper. Where are the wipes, you know? So I'm dreaming about all that this Vespa is going to provide for me, all that I'm going to be fulfilled in having this motorcycle. Y'all, to the point that I find myself at the Escondido DMV. It is, the line is wrapped around like it is Black Friday. And I'm just like, I have a 6-month-old at this point. My chest is like filling with like, and I'm like, studying for tests. Like, oh, I don't know. Are these, and I'm like getting my M1 class license so that I can be prepared for this. Meanwhile, my husband is at home feeding Holden his first solid foods out of literal, not, I'm like missing this moment, like out of necessity. And I'm like, oh, I gotta get home, you know? So talk about a need for speed, you know, y'all have been there. And my birthday comes and I'm unwrapping gifts, pumped out of my mind. I'm like, okay, cool gift, love this. You know, and Kyler has even sent me a text message earlier and he's saying, Diana, I'm just putting some final finishing touches on your gifts. So I'm thinking to myself, how hard is it to put gas in the Vespa, like get here, right? And as I open my gifts, one after the other, you know, waiting for that tiny box with the keys in it, or like the blindfold to walk me out, you know, make sure my hair is good under that blindfold so that when I do my surprise, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, so I can put it on Instagram later so people are like, love, your husband rocks, you are, you know, you're living the dream. Y'all, I did not get a Vespa for my birthday. I didn't. I was more than disappointed. Y'all, I was crushed. I still do not have a Vespa. Like, at Christmas, I was like, you know, no. Have y'all ever been there? Have you felt, do you know, but this is a little bit of a, it might feel like a shallow story. It's a little bit, you know, it's more funny than it is. Like, but you've been there. You've built something up and then experienced that sense of disappointment. Today we're going to talk about this hope that does not disappoint. And it really is. It is a hope that is found in Christ alone. My verse that I've been praying about and that I feel like God specifically gave me weeks ago comes from Romans. And it's Romans 5:5. And it says, "And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us." So how do we have this, how do we experience this satisfaction? It is in hope in Christ alone. But why are we disappointed? Why do we get this way? Honestly, in my, whether consciously or subconsciously, day to day, I know that I am seeking some sense of self-worth, right? I believe that there's this immense pressure from culture that says, you need to make a name for yourself. You need to create an identity, something that you can be proud of, something you can be secure in, something that other people can validate you in. Right? This is our identity. This is what we know will bring our soul fulfillment, will bring us life. It'll be security for us. It ultimately, our identity is what we love, right? So what is it for you? Are you like me, caught up on Instagram, thinking about, like, y'all, thinking about some sort of, like, social following? Do you do that? Where it's just like, wait, I'm going to post this picture, and then I'm going to hear this response, and then I'm going to care about that, and it's going to make me feel good, and this is going to supply the needs that I need to hear about how delightful my family is, or sharing this vacation, or this experience that I got to have. Why? Right? Is it that? Is it hearing that someone else would speak over you? Wow, I see how involved you are in all the social injustices. I see that you're an advocate for these things. That is awesome. That is what you do. Is that where you find your security? Maybe you love the praise of another to notice that you balance somehow your work life and being a mom. And that gives you identity. Is it that, or is it the way that you're feeling in your skin? Is it the way that your jeans fit? Is it the way that you, the way that you're organized, or you're the room mom, or you're just this knock it out of the park? What, right? Are you seeking that satisfaction, that fulfillment, that praise from your husband, and you're not receiving it? When I was the mother of just one child, Hannah Jane, we lived in Fort Worth. And I remember shifting, like I told y'all, very quickly. I went from literally single to mom in like, what is it, like a 7-month, 9-month span? Like very, very quickly. It was just like, bam, you know, like not a guy on the radar. I'd like proposed to all kinds of guys, and no, none of them are interested. Like, what? You know? And suddenly, it's like my identity now went from wife to mom, and I was going to make it my aim to be awesome at it. I am. God gave me this child who slept well, and I was like, that's me. She ate well. I was like, that was me. She was well-mannered, well-behaved in public, and I was like, that's me. She never left the house without her hair braided and a bow in it. Why? Because that's what good moms do, and that is where I hung my hat. And I remember going to Bible study, and I dropped her off in the childcare, and this is the error of me. This is where I found my security. This is where I found my hope. And I remember one day going to pick her up, and it was the same scene every time. You know, all these, you know, other two-year-olds, and they're all, reaching for their moms, and I'm like, oh, you know, it is nap time, but these kids are just not well-adjusted. Like, my Hannah Jane, she's in the back, like, reading her board books, like, SAT prep, girl, I see you. You know, like, I'm just, like, so, just, like, puffed up with, like, she is rocking it. You know, mom is here. Oh, she could stay and play all day. What a great kid, right? And then the next week I go, and same scene. Three kids right here, so many tears. And I'm like, okay, where's Hannah Jane? Oh, playing. She's doing awesome. And her teacher says, Hannah Jane's mom, could I speak to you for a second? And I was like, I got all the time in the world to hear about how awesome my daughter is. You know, so I'm like moving my hair to the side in case she wants to give me like a sticker or like a badge or something like Mom of the Year. And in her sweet southern voice, I'll never forget it. Hannah Jane bit three kids today, and I literally was like, I'm sorry, wait, what? And like this whole list of like, okay, do they need tetanus shots? Why didn't you call? She did what? How do I discipline this? How could she? No, no, no. And you guys just see it, that just that feeling crumbling, identity, no, no, no. And that's me, right? I've put my identity, my worth in this, and it's completely failed me. It's revealing of where my heart is, right? In these things that are so fleeting. Y'all can hear me say that and you think, what is more volatile than the life of a two-year-old, right? Like, why would you do that? But we do that, don't we? It might not be that. You know, your kid, you put your hope in your kid and they bite. Okay, that's gone. You put your hope in this date night with your husband to connect. It's all that you want. And what happens? Stomach bug, gone, disappointed. Mine is as simple as like, oh, my car is clean and I'm driving around in a clean car. And then my kid's like, I need a snack. And I'm like, oh, no, there's only a Nature Valley granola bar. I'm like, oh, there it goes. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what we're putting our hope in. It's gone. Like that much gone. Y'all can relate. Y'all like, that's my minivan right now, girl. Amen. Right? We're all in that boat. But we do it. It's so fleeting. And then we're disappointed. So how do we deal with this disappointment? I feel like we deal with this disappointment two different ways. Sometimes we're stubborn, right? Hannah Jane, when she disappointed me and she bit those children, that was not okay. But we are pushing through. I'm lowering my standard, and we are going to keep at it. But what do? I demand from her, you will start to do what is right. You will obey mama. You will behave. You will use manners. Why? Reflection on me. That's who I am, right? But what am I doing when I'm doing that? I'm crushing her. I'm becoming bitter towards her. I'm resenting that she is not providing what I need. So we're stubborn, right? That's the first way. We just stick with it and we just go through it because that's who I am. If it's my social media, if it's my Instagram, I'm just going to cuter picture. I'm going to follow more people so that they follow me. I'm going to tag all these people so that they will then see this and then they will build me up. Oh, I got 1,000 followers. Oh, no, I'm down to 986. What happened? You know, and we do this. But we're stubborn. We push through. Or the second way, I feel like when we deal with disappointment is we shift. We try and reinvent ourselves, right? You know what? The mom thing is clearly not working for me right now, but you know what will work for me? You know what will give me this sense of satisfaction? I'm about to Cone Marie my house. Anybody watching that show, right? I'm like, I am going to Marie Kondo this place. I'm going to look at every single thing, but does not bring me joy. People are going to walk in and see four walls and be like, you know, and that's going to last what? That joy, I'm like, just got a Swiss Army knife in my pocket. I'm like, I'm prepared for anything. They're going to say, I'm going to have this. It's going to bring me joy. And then how long does that last? 1 month, right? And I'm, oh, that didn't bring me joy. I got to go shopping. I got to get something new. That's going to fill it up. That's going to make me feel good. You know what? I can't spend money on this. I will just plan this dream vacation. That's going to be something to dream about, something to get excited about. right? We just shift. I'll try on the next thing. I'll shop for the next identity. I'll try this identity on. Nope, not working for me. How about this? Right? Today, I want to present that third option. You're like, there's got to be a third option, Diana. No, why doesn't she have a Vespa? You know, where is her identity? For the first time, God gave me a picture of what this third way that I could deal with disappointment was. I was a senior in high school, and my family, I did not grow up in a Christian home. So me being in this church and being part of a Christian community, this is not was not familiar to me in childhood. But when I was a senior in high school, what I did put my identity in was all things that my parents could pat me on the back for, right? So if it's grades, okay, maybe I shouldn't have started with grades. Grades, they were okay, you know. But if it's identity on anything, it was all state honors course. It was senior female athlete of the year. Why? Because I was also a state soccer champion. I ran state track. I dated the captain of the baseball team. These were the things I found my joy, I found my delight in. I didn't really need God, right? Do you need God when you have all those things? There's not this need. I felt very secure. And one day, just as I like put all these pillars as if I'm like standing on it, like, okay, here I am. I'm this kind of athlete. I'm well-liked. I'm popular. I'm prom queen, for crying out loud. Y'all are like, prom queen? I'm like, it was an all-boys school. Just calm down, ladies, okay? You know, but I'm standing on these things. I'm feeling like, okay, this is good. This is who I am. I'm feeling very good about it. And literally, as if, you know, the legs were taken right out from under me. Not because those identities were taken away, but there was extreme hardship in my family that happened almost overnight, that became revealed almost overnight. And what followed was a trial and about an 8-month prison sentence for my father. And so as a senior in high school that had put all of my identity in all of these things, suddenly I'm faced with, oh no, what do I do, right? Now people are going to see me as this. Now there's going to be shame and guilt all over my family. And God in his beautiful grace, I remember the day my mom came. She had been given a Bible. She had started going to church for the, she was a Korean. She is still Korean, guys. She was looking for Christian or Korean community, and she found that in the church. And her pastor gave her a Bible. And as I opened, I was really just crying and broken about, What am I going to do? And she hands me a Bible, and it's a Korean-English Bible. I open all the way up, right to the middle, and God spoke to me in an instance, in a verse. And that verse was Psalm 34:17. And it says, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit." Now, something I knew for sure was that I was brokenhearted. And something I knew for sure was that I was crushed in spirit. And to hear that God heard, and then I'm just like, oh, I gotta keep reading. Like, what is this about? God's meeting me here? Keep reading, guess what? I'm not righteous on my own. As a matter of fact, I'm continuing to choose these identities that were never meant to satisfy me, that only lead me to be stubborn and to push more and then to experience shame and guilt, or to reinvent myself, to try something else on, and it was never meant to satisfy me. But what does he do? Romans 5:8 says, "But while we were yet still sinning, Christ died for us." That's how God demonstrated his great love in this. While we were yet still sinning, Christ died for us. So I'm putting on this identity. I'm saying, well, maybe this one will fit. And all the while, he's saying, no, I'm going to exchange it. Let's exchange it. And that's what he does on the cross. Jesus dies on a cross, taking on my shame and guilt of the identity that I wanted to choose. And in exchange, I get what will satisfy, what is secure. I'm called a daughter of the King. I'm called beloved. I'm cherished. I'm delighted over with singing. God provides all these things for me. And what I was really searching for that entire time, God's love, right? His security. I hope that you guys would be encouraged by this verse. It comes from Romans 8, and it talks about God's love. And this is the depth of God's love. Romans 8 says, 8:38 through 39, "For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So instead of shame and guilt, we receive God's love. And that love, even as we choose to put on a new identity, we cannot be separated from that love. This is secure identity that we've been looking for, found in Christ alone. This is the hope that does not disappoint. So if you came in here today and you're exhausted because the identity you've put on is wearing you down, because it's not what it promised, because you're disappointed, you're exhausted from reinventing yourself, looking for something that will finally bring you joy, this message is for us. And so how do we receive, or how do we respond to this? We respond to it in belief, right? We respond to it in belief. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And as you're saved from all that trying, right? It wasn't getting anywhere anyway. It's just only leading to disappointment. Now you are secure in this identity that you are loved by God. I am so thankful. Last night, as I was literally recounting my testimony of when God used Psalm 34:17, and then I spoke Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love in us in this while we were yet still sinners. I just burst into tears, and God restored to me. I was like, God, you've restored to me the joy of my salvation. How could I have forgotten how much you love me? I'm so thankful. This is like the greatest gift ever. I'm like, I got to tell everyone. I'm like, oh, I can tomorrow. Great. This is working out perfectly, right? God loves you. He's crazy about you. He doesn't want you to stay there. Okay. I have three very practical applications for you. The first one is to stay in the Word, right? I think Paul David Tripp calls it identity amnesia, right? We forget every day who we are, like, who am I? And we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded by what is true, and that's God's Word. My friend Shelby makes the most amazing puppy chow in the world. Whatever the recipe calls for, she, like, quintuplifies the powdered sugar she puts on the end. And you're like, okay, this is a little bit of a shift. I'm like, I'm in, though. I'm interested. And I'm telling you, like, to the point, like, you open the bag and it's like, you know, and you're like, ah, and it's just, like, glory. It's just all over your face. It's amazing. And I, like, I have batches of it, and I kind of, like, just, like, just weasel away at it and just, like, store it and, like, hide it from the family because they just get into it and they just don't savor it the way that I want them to savor it. And the other day I was doing what we all find ourselves doing. I was going through the bedrooms, and I was like, oh, I guess these pants just fell from the ceiling. You know, like, why are they on the floor? So I pick up this pair of black skinny jeans. I'm like, I don't remember these. They are my husband's. And I was like, okay. And, you know, his physique is much like an ice dancer, like a Canadian ice dancer. But I, you know, was like, okay. So I picked them up, and the front of them are covered in this white powder. And I was like, that punk. You know, like, I knew immediately. He had been getting in my puppy chow. You can't hide it. When you get in puppy chow, it's all over the place, right? Same with God's Word. It is transformative. If you are in God's Word, it is going to change you. It is going to be evident all over you. People are going to see that joy. Not only will they see it, they're going to ask about it, right? Must have been good, you know. Looks like you had a lot of puppy chow, you know. They're going to see it. So that's my first encouragement, is stay in the Word to be reminded of who you are. If you have a pen, or if you're taking notes, or just write it on your skin, write down Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 14. If you need to be reminded of your identity, read over that. Memorize that. Psalm 139. Think about who you were, how God created you. The Bible is littered, literally, with so many reminders of who we are in Christ. The second thing is to trust. Our verse today, Romans 5:5, and hope does not disappoint us. Why? Because God has poured out his love into your heart by the Holy Spirit whom he's given us. Now, God's Spirit and your spirit are literally right here. Is that amazing? My other identity is gone. God dwells in me now. This Spirit, his job, he gets to comfort me when I need comfort. If I'm putting on that other identity, he gets to gently remind me, hey, Diana, it didn't work for you last time. And he convicts me of that. And so when you're having, I thought about this. I love a good play on words. When you're having this identity crisis, you can remember, no, identity, Christ is, right? And the Holy Spirit will do that. He will gently remind you that you are hidden in Christ, that you are now a new creation. The old is gone, right? You are now new. And the third way, if you're like, wow, Diana, this is way too overwhelming. You just told me to read the Bible and to trust the Holy Spirit that dwells within me. Surround yourself in community, right? Put yourself around others. When we are vulnerable and we confess that we literally are finding our identity in social media or a two-year-old or how we look in a pair of overalls, I cannot pull it off, y'all. Literally, I'm like, somebody come help me pull off these overalls. No, but like, you know what I mean, Athena. We can encourage one another. We can be here for one another. We are the body that gets to build up and encourage and say, you know what? It's okay. I'm feeling right alongside you. It's okay. Potty training is a nightmare. It's okay. I lose my temper every single day. Whatever it is, we can come, we can be vulnerable, we can be in the light, and we can share it with one another. And that can happen as something simple as a park play date or a good friend to invite you over and say, literally, don't clean the house. Just come over. Just come sit with me. Just come hang out. Let's remind one another of what our identity is. So as we leave this place, that's my prayer for you guys. I've been praying for you guys for literally 6 months and praying that this message would be in myself too, that this message would strike a chord in our hearts and remind us of a greater worth. And a hope that does not disappoint. Okay? So next time you see me around Cardiff, I'm on Vespa. I'm like hoping my husband will listen to this and be like, oh yeah, I should have got her a Vespa. No, that's not it. You know? But if you do ever see him on a Vespa, no, be like, you know what? It's cool, it's not her identity. And I'm like, I got a leather bikini on, you know, I'm headed to the beach. You're like, really? Why did she choose that? It's fine, guys. I've got a helmet on too. Y'all are like, okay, I don't know about this lady. I'm losing all credibility the longer I'm up here. I'm going to pray for us. If anything was unclear, come ask. If you felt like anything was spoken out of term, besides the bikini on the vessel, come talk to us. I there are lots of women in here that are passionate about identity and passionate about, and not just for us, but also for our kiddos, you know. They're noticing, and they see the identities that we try on, and it's so cool that we can say, you know what, mom is screwing up royally, and God is forgiving mom, and we're gonna try again, you know. So, but just come find us. Most of us have a little lanyard on, and you can just ask. But let me pray for us, and then and we'll have a little table discussion. I almost forgot. Okay, yes, Father, thank you for your word that does not return void, Lord. Thank you for the promise of love that does not disappoint. Thank you that there is literally nothing in creation that can separate us from your love, not even ourselves, not even our works. God, I pray that you would remind us gently of that today, Lord, that we're cherished, that we're loved. I pray that you would help even vulnerability now, Lord, that people would just feel freedom to share things, knowing that they're not going to be pronounced all over town, but that they can be, that when things are just out, there's freedom, and there's security in you. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.